I'm sure I am forgetting something. But let's get to it. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would move powerfully in our midst, showing us who our Savior is, who he is the King of, how he invites the lowly into his kingdom. And may we be a church that does the same. Speak to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to remind you where we are in the flow of Mark's story that he's telling here. Much of the message that he communicated early on, we'd say the first eight chapters in this book, spoke to who Jesus is. The disciples, they summarize this question that they asked. They summarize this in the question that they asked. I think back in chapter 4, when Jesus calmed the storm, they said, "Who is this man? Who is he that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And that's the question that Mark was answering throughout the first half of this book. He was showing us that Jesus is the unique Son of God, that he was truly a man, but at the same time, he was truly God. That he was Yahweh, the Jehovah of the Old Testament in the flesh. And he has broken into this world from an unseen realm, heaven. He's come for us. He came into this world to save sinners like us. But then in chapter 8, Peter confesses. He makes a confession. Jesus asks the question, "Who do people out there say that I am?" And Peter says that he believes that Jesus is the Christ. So he answers the question that Mark has been building up to until that point. You are the Christ, the expected one, the Messiah from the Old Testament that everybody has been waiting on. And when, at that point, with Jesus' identity being cleared up, our Lord begins to focus and teach these followers of his what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it starts with his teaching them that to be a Messiah, that he is as their Messiah, that means that he must go to a cross. And any follower of his, in a sense, must also be willing to go to a cross as well. Anybody that follows Jesus is going to die. Die to self. Die to sin. Die, we sang redeemed a minute ago, "I'm not who I used to be." You die to that old life, that old man that you used to be. And then Jesus, the resurrection, the new life that entered into him, the Spirit of God raised him from the dead, that same Spirit is placed in believers to live with the power of the life of Jesus Christ. And a series of stories follow where Jesus is teaching what it looks like to follow him, what it looks like to have faith. He tells them it means that they will be servants. They must become humble and low. He teaches them about the seriousness of sin, the high calling of marriage, and now today. And at face value, it might appear that Jesus is simply following up his message about marriage with a message about children. But I want you to know that more is going on here than that. A disciple, if they have a heart like Jesus has, that disciple will have a love for children. But not just children. Those who are like them. I read a bit this week about the difference between Jesus' day and ours concerning the value of children. Not the way that individual homes and not the way that maybe individual parents would have seen their kids, but the culture as a whole. Our society's relationship with children is complicated. For the most part, children are valued, at least after they're born. I couldn't help but have some conflicted thoughts on the idea of that value, knowing that so many children in our country don't make it to birth. So in some ways, the world that we live in, the culture that we live in, does a good job at trying to show that they care about children, at least the ones that are out of the womb. And as you observe the role that kids have in our culture, I think it's plausible to say that you see that they have worth. They're visible, aren't they? Kids are quite visible in our culture. They're listened to. They receive care. They're educated. They're enjoyed. The economy proves something of their worth in the way that products are marketed toward them. Does anybody in this room know what Ryan's World is? Anybody? You raise your hand if you do. A few parents, maybe a couple of grandparents. if you don't, just look it up. You know, there is a massively popular channel where children can watch other children play with new toys. And it is hugely popular. Man. And I think all that does is show how parents are courted for their resources, because it's not really for the kids, is it? It's so that kids will clamor to mom and dad, and then mom and dad will go out and spend money on those new toys they saw being played with on TV. But there's a lot of resources that are spent on children because they are valued. Parents do want to take care of kids. Society does want to care for children. Thousands of books have been written about parenting. And guess what? Thousands more will be written later on about parenting. And people will buy them. Videos, TV shows, on and on and on. We have a culture that caters to children. But it was not so in Jesus' day. I'm sure children were valued by many people, or even most parents, I would say, but the society as a whole did not cater to them. In fact, it seems society was just waiting on children to get old enough until they could contribute like the rest of the adults that were around there. A lot of hungry mouths to feed. We need children to work in order to help feed all of those people. At 13, a boy became a man and began doing his part of the work. Girls got to their mid-teens and became wives and mothers. Children back then, I think as is today, you know, it was preparation for adulthood. But it would be true to say that in Jesus'